Joel is called the prophet of Pentecost, and rightly so, as the inspired apostle Peter, as he quoted, he was speaking by inspiration, moved by the Holy Spirit. He quoted Joel 2, 28 through 32. That's right, Joel 2, 28 through 32. And he said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And you can see in Acts 2, the sermon that Peter and the other apostles would have been preaching as well, there on the day the church began in Jerusalem. And this goes from verse 14 through 21. 14 through 21. Now, the main message of the prophet Joel is what we want to see this morning, was a call to repentance. And you know, God brought judgment upon Judah by sending an army of locusts, drought, and fire. You can study Joel chapter 1, beginning in verse 2, going through chapter 2, verse 17, and see this. 1, verse 2. Through 2 verse 17. But God, being merciful, was willing to forgive them if they would repent. This is Joel chapter 2 verse 13. You'll notice as we understand here in verse 13 the plea that God made, and rent your heart, not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Now, just as we read, God is long-suffering to us today, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Is that not 2 Peter 3:9? 2 Peter 3:9. So, true repentance must come from the heart, is our study this morning. And we'll notice verses 12 through 14 in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And I keep reminding us to use those initials, PFE. That helps us stay focused. We know what they stand for, preparing for eternity. And thus, we're going to be motivated to continue what is the most important thing we could be doing. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street. Yes, and what do we do in our Bible classes? Well, of course, we study God's precious Word. And as we assemble together to worship God, we strive to do so in spirit and in truth. That's following John 4:24, isn't it? And something else we want to mention, if you would like to have a Bible study, please let us know. We'll set it up at your convenience. Also, we have Bible correspondence courses available, free of course. And if you have Bible questions or comments, they're always welcome, positive or negative. That's right. And you can write to us again, that address, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number is 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, I think I failed to mention, if you're a visitor, you're going to receive a very warm welcome. So I don't want to leave that out. And something else, as the fair, the Morgan County Fair is fast approaching, and we hope to have a booth there in the merchant building, or tent, I guess you would say, and hope you'll come by and check us out. We'll have free materials, and we would be glad to talk to you and Look forward to meeting you. Please let us know if you listen to the radio program. Now, let's get into our study. True repentance is from the heart. Let's go back to Joel 2 now and pick up with verse 12 and continue through 14. Joel 2, 12 through 14. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Well, you know, Proverbs 23:7, this is a verse we all should know, Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we are what we think. That's right. We are what we think. Now, where does sin begin? Well, look at Matthew 15:19. Matthew 15:19, our Lord said, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. So now the question is, how is the heart involved in true repentance? And that is our study, after all. So as we go back to verse 13 and here in Joel 2, notice the term rend. Here in verse 13, rend your heart and not your garments. Well, of course, people in the Old Testament days especially would tear their garments, showing the grief that they were involved in if they lost a loved one, but in this case it would be in repentance. But the main idea here is we must have a tender heart in order for it to be torn. And how can we know if we have a tender heart? Because that's very important. Well, remember Josiah, the king who started out at 8 years old, but when he was 16, he began to seek God and God's will. And this is in 2 Chronicles 34. You can see there in verse 1, Josiah was 8 years old, and verse 3, where he began to seek God. He reigned for 31 years, and it's quite good words God had for Josiah. You can see that in verses 19 through 21. But as, of course, Josiah was doing the will of God, it's in verse 27 is what I want us to focus on, verse 27, because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God when thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humbledest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me. I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Well, that's quite a, you know, accommodation for Josiah. And, you know, we may be touched when watching a tear-jerking movie. I'll have to admit, I tear up. I even remember watching Old Yeller years ago as a teenager, and my next-door neighbor and I were sitting together, and we both were with tears flowing, and when Old Yeller was killed, well, that was a movie. It wasn't real. But we're talking about here, how does the Word of God touch our hearts? You see, that's what we're dealing with here, and having a tender heart where when we need to repent, when we need to get out of sin, we need to have that tender heart, and the Word of God should rend it, prick it, prick our hearts. And certainly we need to continue to study God's Word all our lives and make adjustments as we look into the mirror of the soul. Job, he had a tender heart because he feared God, and he respected and trusted God, as you see in the book of Job, "For God maketh my heart soft," Job 23:16. So, what is involved in rending one's heart and tearing it, that is? That would be an easier word to say. You know, here's the first thought. Our mind must be open to God's Word, as was Lydia's. And let's go now to Acts 16, verse 14. "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened." How did the Lord open her heart? Through the teaching of the Apostle Paul. And notice that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. There it is. So we know how her heart was opened by the Lord. Yes, by the teaching of the truth. Hebrews 4:12. Let's look at Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Quick, it's alive, it's powerful, and it cuts two ways, coming and going. So our heart is torn when God's Word convicts us of our sins. Let's look at John 8:9 for an example. John 8:9, remember they had brought a woman taken in the act of adultery and brought her to Jesus to see what he would do, thinking that would put him between a rock and a hard place. You know, Jesus stooped down, wrote on the ground, and when he said, "He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone." And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And Jesus told her, "Go and sin no more." He did not sanction her sin. Now, these people had their conscience pricked by what the Lord said. Now, Acts 2:37, here is the very time the church began, and as we mentioned earlier, Peter and the other apostles were preaching the gospel of Christ there in Jerusalem in the first century. And they proved that Jesus was the Christ. And there were some 3,000 souls that responded to the Word of God. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Their heart was tender, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter told them, didn't he, to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, there in verse 38. Now, unfortunately, and this is sad, but many people, and we see this today, react in a negative way to God's Word. We can see examples of this in the Scriptures, such as Acts 5:33. Peter and the apostles before the high priest, Acts 5:33, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. They didn't want to hear the truth. And go over to Acts 7:54, verse 54 of Acts 7. Here's Stephen before the high priest and Sanhedrin, and when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gashed on him with their teeth. It's quite a contrast with Acts 2:37, isn't it? Where we saw they were pricked in their heart, Acts 2:37. Now, let's notice another point here. The heart must be turned to the Lord, not only tender, but turned to the Lord. Well, we see this in verse 12. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me. Now, let's stop there and then go down to verse 13. And we can see that they were to, after rend your heart, the tender heart we just talked about, not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. So, true repentance involves more than an outward appearance, such as tearing our garments and looking remorseful. We talked about that. But obedience is required. That's the point. Obedience is required. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 3:8, bring forth therefore fruit worthy of repentance. This is the American Standard Version. Worthy of repentance. That's the point. Or bringing forth the proper fruit. That's right. Now, in Jonah 3:8, we know that the people of Nineveh repented after Jonah preached unto them. It was a sermon of doom, but they turned from their evil ways, this city of Nineveh, from the king on down. Jonah didn't like it, we know about that, but he should have. These are souls worth more than all the world. Now, here's an example we want to look at in Acts 26, verses 17 through 20, we find Paul before King Agrippa, and he revealed to him his mission. Notice, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. He's referring to the Gentiles. Yes, he's going to go to the Gentiles and preach the gospel of Christ. We know that he did and had a lot of people turn to God and obey the gospel that were Gentiles. Look at Acts 11:21-23. This is at Antioch, Acts 11:21-23. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord, and they were exhorted by Barnabas to cleave unto the Lord with purpose of heart. Determination. Do we have that determination? Have we turned to the Lord and cleaving to the Lord still? We better be. If not, it's not too late to do what's right. But let's go on. Let's notice something else here in our study of Joel 2:12-14. You see in verse 12, now, it's after the Lord said to turn ye to me. Here it is, with all your heart. Turn unto me with all your heart. That's also involved in true repentance. Not half a mind. That's not going to work with God. It must be all, or it's going to end up with none. Look at Matthew 12:30. Our Lord stated in Matthew 12:30, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. We've got to be totally surrendering all, as we sing the hymn, to Christ. in following him with a total heart, having gotten out of a sinful life and doing the right thing by submitting to God's will. Of course, God is not going to settle for second place. He didn't do that with Israel, nor will he settle for second place with us today, and nor should he. Exodus 23, let's notice, Exodus 23, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now that was a law that God gave Moses to give to the people, and that was in the Ten Commandments. But let's notice now, we're not under the Ten Commandments, but notice that was nailed to the cross, but notice Matthew 22:37. Matthew 22:37, our Lord improves upon this. Jesus said unto him, this lawyer, notice, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Let's be sure that we're doing just that. Loving the Lord thy God, not with half a heart, not with half our soul and half our mind, no, of course not. But with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. I want to emphasize that. So we must believe with all the heart, of course, Acts 8:37. Notice Acts 8:37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. This is the Ethiopian eunuch. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He made the good confession because he did believe with all his heart. And then he was baptized into Christ. As he and Philip both went down into the water, he came up out of the water, went on his way rejoicing, as you can see there in Acts chapter 8. So therefore, one must also repent, not half-heartedly, but with all the heart. So I want to mention this before our time is up. We must have a pure heart to see God. Didn't Jesus say that in Matthew 5:8? Yes, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew 5:8. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That's right. Now, Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Are we keeping our heart with all diligence? Well, we should. Here is an Old Testament principle, but it is something we need to appreciate today. Deuteronomy 4:9, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thy eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, our grandchildren. That's right. You know, the inspired Apostle Paul admonished the Church of Christ at Philippi in Philippians chapter 4. Notice Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Are we doing that? Now, as we have gone through our lesson this morning, true repentance is from the heart. So we've noted we have to have a tender heart to receive God's word. We don't want to have a hardened heart. Of course not. Has our heart been torn? It's, you know, the Word of God that must be what we're hearing. That's how our faith comes, Romans 10:17. And of course, allow our heart to receive the Word, our mind, and respond to it. Turn to God, ready to do His will, not our own will. Repentance involves getting out of a sinful life and allowing God to direct our steps, Luke 13:3-5. And we do this with all our heart. Yes, turn not to turn away from God, but turn to God and do that with all our heart, soul, and mind to love God. You see, God has given us a choice. What will it be? Revelation 22:17. Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Have we taken of the water of life freely? After repenting, you know, we need to make the good confession unto salvation, as we saw with the Ethiopian eunuch there in Acts chapter 8. And after making the good confession, we're ready to be immersed into the watery grave of baptism. Here's where we contact the precious blood of Christ that washes away our sins. Notice Romans 6:3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Romans 6:3-5. This is where we contact the precious blood of Christ that washes away our sins as he shed his blood in his death. John 19:33-34. Have we submitted to the will of God? Not only repent, that's part of the plan of salvation, but so are the other steps. And the last step is to live faithfully, even until our death. If it meant dying for the cause of Christ, so be it. Revelation 2:10 will receive the crown of life. But are we understanding that when we obey the gospel, we're not going to join a man-made church? We're going to be added to the body of Christ by the Lord himself. Acts 2:47. That's right. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let's be sure that we're one of the saved and continue to grow in Christ, adding the Christian graces, glorifying God, and being willing to share the gospel with others. It's the good news. Have we received that good news, living by it? That's right. I want to thank everyone for listening today. It's appreciated so very much.